Ready. Good evening and welcome. I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting. It is Tuesday, February 5th, 2019, and we are meeting at the authority headquarters. Roll call, Sean Lambert.
Here.
Cameron Gogas.
Here.
Sean Carlton.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present. Item 3A. The meetings of minutes of the meeting, the business meeting of January 8th, 2019. Any comments or corrections? I have two. Page three of, and they're just minor edits, three of five, line 10, under purchasing policy.
Page 4 of 54 is what I've got.
Page 4 of 54,
yeah,
correct.
That's the whole board.
And if line 10.
I don't have line numbers on mine, but
I'm just
down count.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay.
And now I'm not seeing it.
It's called the meeting if it did not get purchased.
If it did. And if it did not get purchased in that time, never mind. Somehow it's fine now. And then the other would be page 4 of 5, so the next page. And that's under the chair comments. And that would be line 11. Rather than authority manager, I believe it should say, Director Gogas asked the status of the assistant authority manager position.
I believe you're right. Where it says,
Yeah.
Instead of manager?
Yeah. If we could just add
assistant authority manager position.
And that's all I have.
Okay. I'll move that we approve the January 8th, 2019 business meeting minutes with the two amendments as presented.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the January 8th, 2019 business meeting minutes as corrected. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm abstaining.
And one abstention. Thank you. Meeting minutes are approved. Item 4A, accounts payable for January 8th. January 8th, January 15th, and January 31st of 2018. Any questions or concerns?
Nope, came down today.
Anybody else? I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for January 8th, January 15th, and January 31st of 2018.
Should be
2019, sorry.
Got it.
Second motion.
It has been moved and approved. There's been a motion and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for January 8th, January 15th, and January 31st of 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item 4B, fiscal year report. Any questions for the authority manager? I'd like to say that I really appreciate the way that that report continues to be laid out, especially this time of year with the percentages on the right, because you can get an idea easily about where our spending is and whether or not we're on target. It makes it easier to go through 10 pages than without the percentages. So thank you for preparing it that way.
Definitely.
Item 5, manager's report. Tony?
Item number 3, at this point we've had no response to the assistant manager position announcement, and the question has come up of whether or not the board wants to consider hiring a recruitment firm, and Chair McVicker just happened to notice that SDAO, I guess, has one of their consultants that recruits for management positions. I was not aware of that. But I could certainly contact them. We've done direct mailings. We've had We have postings at League of Oregon Cities, SDAO, Pacific Northwest Clean Water Associations, and we've had no response thus far. So I guess I need a little direction from the board as far as
I personally like that idea because it's a position that took us quite a while to create and perfect the job description, and I think we've got a lot of things that are going to come into play when we have that person in place. So my own feeling is that it's, let's check out the consultant through that we just became aware of and see what kind of fees might be involved in that, but I would personally think it might be worth spending some money on.
Have you taken a look through the postings and all those sites to see what else is in there in sort of this type position and salary range?
Which sites?
Well, the sites that you mentioned that you've done the posting at. I mean, to me, what this comes down to is A, are we not reaching the right people? Or B, is our compensation not in line with what we're asking for in terms of experience?
So Rochelle and Michelle did direct mailings to certified operators. Mm-hmm. And I think you sent out about 300.
I think it was closer to 425.
And 425?
We received no response at all. And the salary in the posting is still as we had it in the job description of
a range.
There's no range. It's just dependent on qualifications experience. But we had budgeted the 60 for it.
What do you guys feel as far as, I oppose that position. I think that we should, when Tony retires 6 months prior to it, look for somebody to replace Tony. I just think the money that we're putting into this, we've got how many paid employees? Working hourly, and I just think our area, I just don't see an assistant manager. I don't. That's my opinion.
Well, since that decision's already been made, I get it. I understand what you're saying. But
we can always change your mind.
The decision has been made by a long process, and
How much we're looking at for an assistant manager? $70,000 with benefits or this? At this time...
But Cameron, if you want to propose that we revisit that decision, then that'll have to be proposed in a way, and you'll have to have some support from that from other board members in order to bring that back up.
I'm just asking now. What does anybody feel about that? I mean, John, what do you...
I think the authority needs that position, and I think we're seeing one of the side effects of being in our, kind of in a secluded area, mm-hmm. that it's not easy to find somebody. If Tony gives his notice tomorrow, it's not something you can just flip the switch and find somebody and hire them.
Right.
So I think it's critical that we keep going on the path that we already set out on.
Because we're gonna hire an assistant manager and then replace Tony. Correct? We're going to have an assistant manager and a manager.
At this point, the decision, we had quite a discussion about bringing in that position, and we looked at it in terms of what this authority needs going forward with personnel and so forth, and we voted 4-1 to support the position, so that's the position we're at this point. So how best to fill that position, and I think, Sean, you brought up a couple of points. One is our salary in the right range, and have we exhausted where we could put our advertisements? And another thing is, it's hard to get people here. The article I was reading this morning said that the unemployment rate in Oregon and in the U.S. is the lowest that it's ever been. So this position is going to be very difficult to find the right person for, let alone get enough applications in. So Tony's asking us if we would recommend or support getting some assistance for that. And it looks like that Rochelle and Michelle have looked at two, or Tony have looked at a couple of options, and now another one's popped up. I think we're all aware of the public, the situation with fiduciary responsibility. We don't want to go hire the highest cost recruiting firm to get us there. I think we start in what seems to be reasonable and possible.
But if this is going to be an indicator of trying to find a replacement for Tony when he retires, I mean...
It could well be. This is the way business is done.
Or it may be totally the opposite. We don't know because we don't know what those dates are and we don't know what the economy is going to do. So trying to guess that at this point, I don't think would serve us well.
So at this point, my feeling, I'm not interested yet in spending $6,000 to $8,000 on a recruiting firm. That's where I feel my feelings are at right now. I say, how long have we had this posted, or we've been looking for this? 2 months? 3 months?
About 2 months.
So, you know, I'm fine with looking into the SDAO consultant, but at this point, I think we just keep repeat, rinse and repeat for a little while. I mean, I think it's going to be tough to find somebody like this to come move to Pacific City. So I don't have any expectations this is going to be a fast thing. So maybe we just need to take some time and see what happens. And once, you know, we've been at this for a while and still are not finding what we're looking for, maybe then it's time to think about a recruiter.
And when you talk about being at it for a while, what kind of time frame is in your...
I don't know. This is a new experience for me, you know, trying to recruit somebody for a public utility on the coast. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that would be something that could happen in 6 months based on what I see going on at the coast. But, you know, let's see what happens before we... You know, we might spend $8,000 to be in the exact same position that we're at. So, let's try the SDAO thing, look into that, and give it some more time before we pony up that kind of money. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I'd like to find out what the new possibility is before we make any decision. But as a matter of how business is done for senior level positions around the country, not just here in Pacific City and South Tillamook County, I think this is a common approach, and it can be bring a lot of efficiency to the process and be ultimately for the good of the organization. So maybe we could find out what this third party might charge for something like this, and if there are any others out there that we should consult. Let's do that and talk about it again at next month's meeting.
Yeah, and when I've used recruiters in the past, you usually don't pay until you actually find somebody and hire.
And that was mentioned apparently in the conversation that they, if it were not successful in the first round, they wouldn't charge for a second round. So basically, I don't know how the billing
works. So is there a difference between Indeed and the other one that you mentioned and a recruiter that's out there as an independent recruiter that's not associated with a listing and a website? I know my experience is with recruiters, oftentimes you hire a company and get connected with a particular recruiter there, and then they are assigned to try to match things. But we've got Glassdoor and Indeed.com, and I think they have recruiting services, but they also have posting services, which I think are separate, if I'm not mistaken. And Rochelle, you may have more information.
The reasons that we chose those ones are because they are very common, and a lot of people use them. And we get notices from Prothman probably daily about recruiting. And so in our experience, we thought they were an effective recruiter. So.
Do we have the opportunity to list on Indeed or Glassdoor or any of those others without paying an exorbitant fee?
Really?
They want to be involved.
Wow. All those postings, they're collecting.
They're collecting money.
It doesn't allow you to really get out there then. Mm-hmm. You're stuck. Okay. Any other questions? question. We'll just keep moving forward. Okay. Thank you.
Next is item number 5 regarding request for water service on Ridge Road, and I've included a technical memo from our engineers regarding this. And this is one of the things that's on the master plan, but and we have reviewed this before, but I'm just bringing it to the board's attention that I think that it may be something we're going to need to look at sooner rather than later. This affects a lot of the area north on the Cape Ridge Road and Terrace View and Pine and part of Cape Kiwanis Drive, all fed out of the 100K reservoir. So it's just, I think it's something that you need to be aware of, and it's something that we may need to look at. I know that there was, for many years, people wanting to develop that whole north end with their homes and whatnot, and this particular individual.
Up on Ridge.
On Ridge Road.
How many lots are up there? I know there's eight houses. Yeah, I know we've got 8 houses up there on Ridge.
Well, this affects more than just Ridge Road. This affects Cape Quantity Drive, Pine, Terrace View, and Ridge Road.
And then on the other side.
So it's that whole supply
cluster. Yeah, that whole area up there.
Yeah, according to that
around map. The 100K reservoir. So I'm mentioning it so you're aware of it, that I think that it's something that I am probably going to ask our engineers to come up with a kind of a game plan of what they think it would take, not put a whole lot of effort into it right away, but that would give the board and I some information regarding really what we are looking at, because it is something in our master plan. And I don't know how many more houses we're going to be able to allow to build up there.
So we have 2 different issues. One is the issue that resulted in what we have in front of us is because of a request for a potential new residential property. But we know that the area has needs, and that is part of the master plan that's going to need to be done. And it will probably need to be done sooner than later because there's so many vacant lots up there, and it is under... It doesn't provide what is needed for additional houses.
Yeah, I don't know how many vacant lots are left up
there. Because who knew anybody would want to build houses out there way back when the lines were first.
So can you just, for sort of background information, give me some additional information? So the entirety of what you're talking about is within our area boundary, right?
Correct.
And so how do we have the ability to tell somebody they can't have water and sewer up there?
That's why I'm bringing this issue up.
I mean, we statutorily, can we tell somebody no? I didn't think we could. I mean,
there would have to be a caveat in that improvements would have to be done. And that's one of the reasons that this is being brought up to the board, because I don't want this agency to have to get into that position.
So what happens, I mean, we're on the hook for providing service there, is that correct?
If there's going to be a large development, the developer is responsible for that. But that's not the way this is going. There's right. individual houses, so that kind of puts the ball in our court to deal with.
So that's for the main supply line.
For there's 3 or 4 supply lines that are north of.
Yeah.
Well, Ridge, it goes up and then there's a standpipe. You're saying that exceeds that standpipe more north up on Ridge?
I don't know which.
Up on Ridge?
I'm not sure what standpipe you're talking
there's
about.
There's a yellow flush, not a standpipe,
or
a flush blow off. Yeah, there's that. You're saying we have to go beyond that pipe?
Yeah, we go north to all those vacant lots.
And then there's all that, the property that's down below in the gully there?
That's County Park.
Some of
that is County Park.
There's two lots on Cape Cod
right.
Drive.
You'd have to have the tax map in front of you to see where the line is.
And then what are we talking as far? I'm kind of trying to think how much more we've got on up above on...
I'm not sure it has to do with the volume of what's there. It's that if you look at the hydraulic, and correct me
mechanics.
If I'm not, if you look at the mechanics of water delivery at this point, it's going to be the next house or the next two houses right in there in terms of then the quality of delivery will drop below what our standard is. This is something that's been in the master plan. We know that we're going to have to do it at some point, and it's getting closer. So this is the heads up and the prep work to begin to go down that road,
that's gonna,
no pun intended.
So, I mean, that's it's going to change what's on, is that still going up the hill to the 100K? That all has to be changed out?
What's that?
The water? That has to be...
The water line going to the 100K or
yeah.
from the 100K?
Both.
Ideally, the inlet piping to the 100K would be increased in size, but we need to do a holistic look at this whole hydraulic of this area and see what is going to be the best way to resolve this. I know that we need larger booster pumps. We need a larger discharge line. We only have 2- and 3-inch lines.
And we don't have a booster on that.
Yeah, there's a booster station there. We need to
increase
the size.
It said it was a booster station at 2-inch PVC.
I was looking at the map trying to figure.
So I'm just wanting to bring it to your attention.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, but now does the CIC charges, does that help? I mean, isn't this supposed to be part of that? That money that we're collecting from everybody else?
Water capital improvement charges can be used for this, but it would more than likely be system development charges because it's capacity increasing. That's what SDCs are using.
And so then we're going, like, say, for the 2-inch line, maybe the 4-inch line. So we can
possibly.
Build here.
That's possibly depending on what the engineer said.
Right. I think that's all I really have for discussion on manager's report.
You get what the office remodel?
Yeah, oh, question on that too.
Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm just again kind of bringing it to your attention that we're looking at various options for remodeling the office and also looking at potentially a new copier and a new phone system as well.
Are these budgeted items? Have they been budgeted?
They would come out of the 004 and 005 funds, and that would be capital improvement charges in there. And there are budgeted for new construction, and there's a line item for office stuff as well.
So also not, the building, would that also some of the work that needs to be to the rot of the building?
That would be separate.
Separate on that?
Yeah.
All right. Is that good? So that, will that be a bid process? You'll go out for bid for the
office? Yeah, we'll get quotes from contractors.
So we're going to do the floor? Awesome.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay, any other questions?
So the trees that were cut down on the property?
Mm-hmm.
What house? Is that...
There's a house that's kind of on the east side of where our property is. With the trees were potentially endangering that house.
Okay. All right, item 6. Unfinished business wastewater treatment plant improvement project.
So the new SBR is up and running. We seeded it on January 15th. We're still in the, the infancy stage of getting it up and running and getting the biology straightened out. Right now, I am running a crew. Basically, we're staffing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm hoping to stop that this week. We've progressed enough in the last 3 weeks that I'm hopeful that by the end of this week we'll be able to go back to normal schedules. So, and then we're also having Zwald Trucking hauling our biosolids out to our property in Beaver.
Okay.
And when do we think this whole thing is going to be finished?
Right now, it looks like May.
May.
I know running 24-hour shifts is difficult, and I'd like to thank the crew for their willingness to the weekends and the nights to help keep us on track, because getting that biological process...
Are they getting paid a differential?
No, they're not.
So,
I don't
thank
imagine
you.
Anybody signed up for graveyard. Bottom of the heap.
All right, any other questions about... construction. All right. Item 6D, our strategic plan. This is a working document. We last discussed it at the January meeting. It was my error not getting it on the January agenda. And so when we discussed it under director comments and approved the working document at that point, we did so without it being on the agenda. And we feel, Tony and I talked about it, we feel like it would... We need to go back and do that, make that motion again, having noticed the public that we were going to be talking about that and formalizing it, giving them a chance to be here to listen to it. Are there any questions at this point? And if not, I'll entertain a motion as we did at the last meeting, and we can move forward with it.
I think we had the discussion at the last meeting, so it's...
Well, because everybody wasn't here.
It was at the December meeting.
The December meeting,
We approved it, and everybody
at
was
that
here.
Meeting, we,
but it was under the item of director comments and not under an agenda item.
So I'll move that we approve the working document for the 2019-2020 operational strategic plan.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the working document for the 2019-2020 operational strategic plan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Abstain.
One abstention?
Yep.
Okay. I think it was on the record that you voted for it the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any comment about that? Any care to share? Okay. All right. Item 6C, community engagement and outreach. I again apologize for the short notice of getting that document to you. Questions, concerns, comments?
I read through it. I'd like to go through it a couple more times, I think. My overall impression is I think I expected more. So I feel like I want to go back and kind of figure out what my expectations were and whether my expectations and how we differ on those things. I also felt that a $3,000 a month retainer was not appropriate. So, you know, maybe there's a way that I can get comfortable with a project-based approach, but I don't like the idea of a monthly retainer.
I would agree that.
Yeah.
I would also agree I don't care for the option of a new communications position. I don't
know.
No, me neither.
At all.
Yeah.
No, I think she was trying to give us
options.
A range of options.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we ask her for, but in this context, it's...
So I think, I don't think we got all that we, in terms of on paper, that we were thinking that we might get. And I think that was due to her illness last week. And I think at this point, would it be appropriate for me to go ahead and ask her to develop a scope for building that strategic plan and looking at a five-year window? And then how we would get there, the messaging pieces of it, recommending some, in general, some tactics, and then potentially a piece that would probably be a little bit looser on developing some of those tactics with us depending on how they were laid out as the second piece. So I think at the end of our workshop, we were in consensus about this has been good for us, we've learned a lot, we know we need to move forward with this in some way, and now we need to know how much it's going to cost to develop a plan, especially the umbrella part of it that says this is how we do things, this is how we message, and so forth. And then we're possibly going to need some help with tactics in terms of what do we do next. And to get some more detailed, I know that those things will be within that 5 to 10K range that she's mentioned there, but to get that split out so we can exactly see where our money's going to be spent and how that would look in terms of time.
And how far we might want to go with it.
Right,
we might only
right.
want to do the first two stages, which wouldn't be the full picture,
exactly.
the full dollar amount she's dropped
right.
here.
Right.
We have a dollar amount without a whole lot of understanding of what
right.
specifically what goes into it.
Well, when what things so, worked and what things haven't. I mean, we have a lot of stuff that hasn't, so are we going to go back
so,
and try that again?
That would depend upon our strategy and our next session with her, I think.
I would just say that to me, a 5-year time frame is a little too long. You know, maybe we have a 2 to 3 year time frame.
In terms of tactics.
Yeah.
But I would hope that our overall strategic concept would be more than just 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because you have to maintain it and then revise it. And then,
yeah, I just
yeah.
I want to make, when you say 5 years, to me that says we're kicking this can down the road.
No, I don't think it's just a semantic issue between us. Yeah, I agree. I will email her this week and ask for that data so that we'll have
kind of a more detailed picture
yeah.
of what it would
look
she
like
would be
doing. Yeah, what we would do with
and
her.
What the cost might be involved at different stages.
Yeah.
So I think that would help me develop a feeling about whether to go ahead with it or not.
Okay. Any other comments on what we have from her? All right. Item 6D, manager review process. You have as part of our board packet information from Ryan Fleming with regards to our schedule. Are there any conflicts or any concerns with what he's prepared for?
My only concern is that in general, some of these time periods seem pretty narrow to me.
Narrow being too close together?
Yeah, you know, I think some of these things are maybe going to take longer than 2 days to do. And so I worry a little bit, especially if we don't get information in a timely manner, that it's going to be difficult to flip it around. So I think the overall, I think we want to do this in the overall time frame, but some of these individual things I just have some concern on how close together these things are.
Was there anything in particular that jumped out at you?
Yeah.
Like, are you worried about whether Ryan has a good picture of the functioning here?
Well, like, for instance, here's in March, under March 2019. 3-1, consultant begins reaching out to individual board members. 3-3, consultant discusses annual compensation adjustment with board chair compensation committee. I mean, those are that's 2 days, so those are pretty fast turnarounds. And so especially when we're talking about interacting with the board and whether or not there's going to be information going back and forth, I think some of these things, 2 to 3 days is pretty narrow. That's my overall impression. So I don't know if maybe some of these things could be happening simultaneously, and I know
yes.
it says
yeah.
at the beginning that some of that is going to happen, but I would just say let's be aware that I'm okay with the start date, I'm okay with the end date, but the things in the middle
yeah.
seem like maybe we could do a better job of overlapping on some of these things so that, you know, the more, you know, again, as we're all volunteers and we all have full-time jobs, sometimes it's going to take more than 2 days for some of this stuff to happen. So.
Well, then I share that concern, and that's one of the dangers of trying to put that final point on exactly what's going to happen when. And I'm guessing that he has a lot of experience with these goals not quite working out.
We set the boundaries on it.
That is what we asked him for.
I agree.
And so he set out what to him is seems like a realistic approach to it. The other thing that struck me as I read through it is at several points there are things I can be thinking about way before they come up on the schedule. So when it comes up on the schedule, I have to think, okay, you're not starting from scratch when the phone rings and you're on the phone with him. You've got some notes, whatever. We all do that. So it's maybe not quite as intimidating as it looks as a schedule, but I get what you're saying.
I mean, I think if we had a full-time HR person then that was getting paid to do this, this schedule would make sense.
Yeah.
So you're more concerned about the board's time or about Tony's time?
Both. I mean, I think that there's some pretty fast turnarounds on here, and there's a lot going on. So I think if we can be flexible on some of these dates by making some things happen simultaneously, I mean, this is a very linear process, which I understand, but maybe some of these things, there's some fudge factor with overlapping that we can make it a little easier on all of us.
I think we'll do our best, and the 5-7 date was sent so that we could actually get the review completed as part of the budget. So
on time.
It looks good.
Absolutely.
And it puts us in better shape than we've ever been before.
Maybe convey this conversation to Ryan and what the concern is.
So shall we leave it as is, understanding that we're going to need some potential flexibility and we will do our darndest to...
Yeah, as long as he's on board with that, you know, let's make sure everybody's on board with it.
So do we need a motion to accept this and move ahead, or is it consensus, or...
I think we already have a contract with you.
Right. So that's right. I'm sorry.
We don't need any more.
I'm sorry,
you're
right.
This is just sharing with the board, understanding the responsibilities of individual parties.
That's right.
I will get back to him in an email and try to articulate some of our concerns, and we'll go forward. Okay. Item 7, guest questions and comments. Do we have any? Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Robin Kostrykin, Pacific City Heights. I'm doing great. These questions pertain to our HAA5 water violation. Okay, so we take the average of 4 quarterly samples at each site. How do you know that in between these quarterly samples that you aren't exceeding the acceptable standard of parts per billion? Is there a way, are there safeguards?
Not unless we sampled every single day and sent samples in. Every single day.
So then this might not be an isolated incident?
This is a very unusual incident.
Okay. Are there other causes beside too much chlorine that could cause this, like
well, it could be
not flushing the line
it
out?
It could be resident time in the pipelines.
Would the flushing of the lines have anything to do with it, or would it cause?
That's a potential issue.
So how often do we flush the lines?
We try to do them annually. That doesn't always happen on an exact annual basis, depending on what our workload is.
Okay. And so how do you know the correct amount of chlorine? Do you take a sample after the employees put the chlorine in to make sure
it's automatically injected into the water, and we have a pump that we set it so that we know that the chlorine level is X here. It depends on a lot of factors. Depends on weather, rain, you know, what's going on in the Horn Creek Basin, and then you also have a differential between Horn Creek and the wells. So we still have to maintain a chlorine residual to the far reaches of the distribution system.
Okay.
And that makes it a little bit complicated.
So basically what you're saying is there's no guarantee that this might be going on in between the testing.
I can't sit here and tell you that it doesn't or that it does. The only way that we know is by doing the testing that the drinking water program requires us to do.
Okay. Yes. I don't even know what she was referring to, but the one thing that I keyed in on was the chlorine thing, because the last time I was here, which was months and months ago, that was my question, and you gave me, well, several people gave me testing facilities that I could call, because at my home, I'm on Bruton Road, the chlorine level at times, not every time you open the faucet, Lorraine, but at times, is so overwhelming, you literally have to take a step back. And I'm not exaggerating that it's there. Now, the fact of the matter is, having managed pools before, yeah, I could pull a sample. I mean, I can do my own chlorine testing. I really don't need to hire anybody to test it. If I took it to a more or a higher authority to have it tested, the chlorine dissipates after a while. And yes, I can open the lines and I can let them flush. But I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes the flushing of those lines can take, I could open every line in the house and it still could take 10 minutes. And if you can tell me that you can't walk into that, any room, living room, kitchen, wherever, and not smell the chlorine, then you probably need to go get your smell checked out, because it is that overwhelming. So when you brought that up, I don't even know what it relates to as far as what she was talking about, and what she's talking about, but I think I'm the only one who feels this way. It's not like I've gone out and taken a survey of the community, but I don't have any neighbors around me who live there. I live there. I mean, they come, they go, you know. So I don't know that they would be necessarily getting the same bounce that I am, but is there an explanation for the bounce that is so high that, God, I don't even allow my dogs to drink that water. Everything is either bottled or filtered. That's how strongly I feel about it. And I know chlorine is necessary. I'm not even arguing that. I'm just asking, why does it bounce so high at my house?
Well, and yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, is that where you live, you know, you have, where you live, not everybody on Broughton Road North is there all the time, but that same line goes out, resort to the end house, and then it also goes into woods. And a lot of that is really dependent upon, you know, how much usage there actually is. And as you're aware, it also, you know, pH affects chlorine. Temperature affects chlorine. If you've managed pools and whatnot, you understand that. But one of the things that I have been doing since this issue arose is looking at some equipment, and it's not inexpensive, but I am looking and doing some research on equipment where we can set up at specific sites where we know that there may be a longer detention time in the distribution system, that it will automatically flush that line. So that's one of the things that I'm doing research on right now.
Okay. Well, like I said, my curiosity remains very high, because I kept hoping at some point I'd discover it was my imagination. But my husband, who's now deceased, and he had no sense of smell, zero. Even he would step back from the faucets, and which told me more than me.
And I think we notice it more now because it's not with us all the time. When we're not running the wells, the chlorine level is not as high, and so it's more noticeable at different times than it is with the Horn Creek. The Horn Creek is nice water.
Mine's kind of consistent. I mean, it's still a random issue in terms, I can't tell you if it's going to happen Monday or Tuesday.
No.
Or if it's going to happen Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah. But in terms of consistency, you can plan on it being there pretty much all the time. Not Not some, the levels do seem to change dramatically. There can be, like I said, if you could tell me that you stepped into my home and said, no, I don't smell anything, then I think that you had a medical problem, quite frankly, because it's that strong.
Well, thank you for your comments.
And we do have at the Horn Creek facility, the chlorine injection is automated. We have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week instrumentation there that is recording and logging what the residual is right there. So if it gets too low, I get a phone call. If it gets too high, I get a phone call. So.
I just wanted to add to what she said, that that's been an issue of concern for a lot of people I've talked to. They have the same overpowering chlorine smell. We have it at our house. It kind of comes and goes. And chlorine is very toxic. And I realize, you know, like Rintha said, you know, we need to have it in our water. But chlorine gas causes, you know, respiratory issues and people that have asthma or sensitivity. So I think it's not unique just to where she is. We've experienced it in our house, and I've talked to people in other parts of the district, you know, that also have that issue, but, you know, they just kind of just went, oh, well, I guess that's just the way it is. But I know that all the years, wherever I've lived in California and Portland and Kaiser, we've never had any overpowering chlorine smell. So I know that can't be normal. So I think it would be wonderful, because it seems to me like flushing the lines more regularly might be one solution to prevent that from happening.
Thank you. Interesting to see what you find out about that equipment.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
I have one that is just curiosity. Sue Delaney, by the way. You're looking for an assistant manager. Mm-hmm. We have, what is it, 7 employees here? For the Water Sewer District?
There's 8 of us total. 8, 6, 9. There's 9 of us total.
Okay, why can't you take one of the employees, I'm going to call them laborers for lack of a better word, why can't you train one of those to be an assistant manager from in-house instead of going outside?
I think when we looked at, that's a good idea, a good comment, and I think when we looked at the job description, that the qualifications that are within that job description that at this point are beyond what is, I think, that we are not trainers for the kind of need that we have. We don't have the skills or the time to train someone to that level. Because it requires a higher level certification.
Is there nobody that works here that would like to do that and would take that on themselves?
Not that it's been expressed to me.
Bummer. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Bud.
Yeah, hi, Bud Miller, resident here. Noticed in the paper and then got discussed today that the new wastewater treatment plant is on track, and congratulations to everybody who worked so hard to get that done. There was mentioned in the paper also at the time that it might actually be coming in under budget. Has that been clarified, resolved, or anything like that?
Well, as far as that I could have misspoke on that. Right now, we are under budget.
Okay.
We are in line right now to potentially be under budget, but I always caveat that with there's still 3 to 4 months worth of project, and I know that there are some change orders that need to be done as well. To me, right now, it's good that we're under budget, to me, the most critical issue right at this particular time is that we're overdue on this project, and that could potentially cause that budget to require more money.
And I think, yeah.
Not from the citizens, but out of what we have, you know, allocated right now. Because there's some things within this project that, you know, we have had to go out of pocket on some things because of the way the budget was originally set up. And we're really hoping that rural development is going to reimburse us. So,
do you have any idea of what the scope of that, understanding what you're saying about it not being a certain number, are we talking $10,000 or $1 million or?
As far as what?
But what if you if everything stopped today, how far would you be under budget, approximately? Do you have any?
We have about $570,000 in contingency right now.
And I would suggest, hopefully, that if there is truly money left at the end of the project, that it be returned to the ratepayers. I hear some talk about PR going on. Don't quite know what that's all about. But if you want to have some good PR, I think it would be worthwhile thinking of $500,000, or at least even $100,000 for 2,000 customers, $50. And if you just not bill everybody for $50 for 1 month, I think that would be go a long ways to
that would
helping
be,
people understand.
That would be nice, but let me explain to you, to everyone, the way that this works is that we have a certain amount of money that is part of our revenue bond. After that, the grant, we have to expend all that money before we get any grant money. So that money will be gone.
I'm sorry, the revenue bond for what?
For the wastewater treatment plant.
I didn't know there was a
revenue That's what bond. The capital improvement charges on the monthly bill.
Oh, okay. Not a bond, but an extra.
Yeah.
But we're paying more. Okay.
So the way this works is that the revenue bond money gets spent first before we see any grant money. If we don't spend all the grant money, we don't get it at all. It goes back to the federal government. So if I'm under budget $500,000 at the end of this project, I want to spend it for the citizens in this community for some of the alternatives that we had to cut out of the original documents because it was just too expensive. So one of the things that Michelle and I have been doing through this whole process is trying to make sure we're keeping a good handle on what all the expenses are and why things are going the way they are, and trying to be as prudent as we can, because we're counting on that contingency, and we're also counting on the citizens getting the full almost $2 million grant money on this project. So if there were that $500,000 left, let's say, it can't go back to the citizens. It has to be spent, or it has to go back to rural development.
Could it be used to reduce future increases in rates?
Nope.
So if you're $1 under budget, you don't get the $2 million.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If we're under budget by $1 and the project's done, that dollar goes back to rural development.
So it's just another payment to rural development for their grant money?
Correct.
Thank you.
I think I might add, too, that when we talk about the project itself, we had a concept of the project and went ahead and got the revenue bond, which we hoped was enough, and then you do your final engineering. And when the final engineering, the bids came in, we had it bid so that we had the major piece over here, and then we had five other pieces that we bid out separately. So in case the bids didn't come in where we wanted them to come in, we wouldn't have to start all over. So the bids were higher than we expected, and we were able to do the major piece. So we now know what these pieces are, and if there is any money left over from this, it will go for those pieces that we had to take out of the project because of cost. And again, because of what Tony said, we don't want to give it back to the feds. We want to be able to use it for the citizens of this community.
Well, and I would modify my suggestion that getting that out is an explanation to customers would certainly be, I think, a very smart move.
Maybe we can sit down with Tim and talk a little more about that.
No, or just put out a notice in your bill like you have done for other things, that this is where you're at, especially when you get it to a finish point.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, cutting the cost to bid, is it going to cost us more money to put it back in? Like, if you've had it planned in and had to change it?
I'm not understanding your question.
Well, like some of the money that we're saving, you know, that it was too high, and we're going to maybe fix it later.
Okay, so what Chairman Vicker was describing was the way that we bid this project. So there's alternatives to the main bid of what's getting, you know, the down and dirty stuff taken care of that we need. The other things, one of those alternatives was extending our reused water system in here. Mm-hmm. If we have money left, it's going to go to that. One of the other items was building a new shop back here for our equipment that's sitting out in the weather. You know, there's a new shop. There's another portion of this, which is the new biosolid spreader that we have to have. That's a $220,000 item that I'm hoping to get reimbursed. But right now, that's one of those pieces of equipment and part of this project that's come out of our pockets. So I want to see if we can get reimbursed.
Sure.
Rural Development's already told me that if you have money left, this is a reimbursable item. So that's what I'm, you know, trying to do.
So, well, kind of what I'm thinking is that if there's like a part of the job that we kind of had to hold off, we could still add to it with the money if we needed to, that it's not going to incur more costs.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, as long as it's been identified already, like one of these alternatives, or
right.
Yeah.
So we don't have to incur additional costs just because we cut it out and then we're going to put it back in.
Correct.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yes. Another comment?
I know you're in hot pursuit of creating a better rapport with the community at large, of which there's whatever 400 people that you have to communicate with. And whatever you do, may I suggest that you not, at least not with people my age, suggest that we have to spend the money, because if we don't spend the money, okay, it's not going to do you any good, as though that and the reference to our money, it's not your money, it's not my money, it's taxpayer money, and it's not free. We wouldn't get the grant for free. Every one of us paid into it. And just as a taxpayer, I am so weary, so worn out from the discussion of, well, it's grant money. For crying out loud, don't you see the difference? It's free. No, it's not free money. It really cost me something. It really cost you something.
Mm-hmm.
Every
sure.
one of you.
Yeah. But I'd rather have it.
Well,
here.
All I'm saying is you're in pursuit of trying to create a better conversation with the community. That's not a good argument. You're going to lose that one right up front. If you come at anybody, look at all the free money we got. Yay! And then we saved some of the free money so we could turn around and spend some of the free money. He's definitely right. It needs an explanation. Yay for you, Tony, and anybody else who brought the project in under budget. Bravo. The argument that now we might have to send that money back, damn it, and it's free money too.
No, I'm not. I wasn't trying to imply that it was free money, because there is no such thing as free money.
So. No, there isn't. And if there is, could you please tell me where to head? Well, that's right. I'd like to get right in that line, please.
Yes. Okay. One more comment.
When was the master plan drawn up? Was that done before you came, Tony?
Are you talking about our water master plans and our sewer master plans?
I don't care what, you're just a master plan. Because I want to know, in that master plan, I suppose it would be with the water, is there something in there that will replace all the asbestos pipes in town or not? To my understanding, there's at least two places in town that is still using asbestos water lines. Am I right or wrong?
There are more than two places in town that have AC pipe. Broughton Road has it. There's some on Pacific. There's a little short section on Hill. And then south of town going out to the Nestucca Keys, there's another stretch.
Okay.
And one of the things that I have done also is talk to rural development about, well, I've actually done several things. Number one, I'm doing research on what's called pipe lining or pipe bursting. You leave that asbestos cement pipe in place and you put a liner inside of it, which basically protects everything. You can't get asbestos fibers into the water, which, by the way, we have to test for that as well. And I talked to rural development about whether or not a project like that would qualify for funding. And they said, on the face of it, yes, that appears to be something that would qualify for funding. Because, you know, that would be nice to get that out of our system. And if we line it, it's going to be less expensive than all the open trench excavation that would have to be done to replace it all.
Do you know why that it wasn't replaced when they replaced the rest of the pipes?
I don't have any idea.
Okay, because I thought that was done before you came here.
The
lines laid before you came here, I think.
Not on Broughton.
No, I mean the ones in most of Pacific City. I know ours was done before you came here and went to work for. The sewer system was when they were still separated.
Right.
They put new pipes in. And I just wondered if there was a reason why they left those particular ones in the ground.
I have no idea.
Just a quick follow-up on that.
Sure.
We're not installing any of asbestos-related pipe now, are we?
Oh, heavens no.
But to answer her original question, it is in the master plan, is that correct? Replacing that
I can't
AC
remember
pipe?
If that specifically is in there. I would have to look. It's been
sure
a while.
I thought it was. But
that plan was developed in 2004.
That was the first
the
one, but before
that was
predated in 1990, about 1994 or 5, with what was then called the capital improvement plan. So,
quick question.
Yes.
Do you think you can let us know after you look at the master plan? Because that was some of the questions that I had too, because I just found out that we had asbestos pipes and that really took me aback because I just assumed, you know, they were all taken care of because of the environmental hazards and hazards to the health. And then I was really curious because it seemed like at one of the meetings that we're doing asbestos testing annually, but when I looked at your drinking water newsletter, it's every 9 years. So what happens in that interim? How do we know that it isn't degrading or, you know, contaminating the river? Or and also, too, I was told that the asbestos pipes run from in town to Woods Bridge. Is there drinking water going through that for all those? There is.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So if I lived there, boy, I would be really concerned because 9 years.
Well, that's following the regulations. That's a regulated item that we follow because it's been set by the government entities in terms of that's how often you test those lines.
But then my question is, isn't there a best practice? I mean, if we're really concerned about the environmental hazards, like there was just, I think, 10 earthquakes on the Cascadia Fault. And what went through my mind is, what's going to happen if we have a major earthquake or tsunami to those lines that go down the river?
I mean, it all wash away anyway, Robin.
The whole town will be gone. Many things to be. Your house will be fine, but the rest of us will be gone.
But anyway, like I said, it's been a concern of mine because I just assumed, you know, when I heard that, I just thought that they were all taken care of, and I personally think that should be a top priority, you know, as opposed to putting money for an assistant manager. I would want to know that we're protecting the health and welfare of people in our drinking water and the Nisqually from being contaminated.
Now, the testing 9 years, is that a federal mandate or is that a state mandate?
That's both. State of Oregon has primacy for EPA. It's a primacy state, so EPA sets up all the rules. Oregon enforces it.
By the way, I really like the idea of putting a pipe inside of the pipe already. I think that's a great idea.
I'd like to see how that's done.
New opportunity.
Yeah.
Go to the web. Okay, item 8, Chair Director comments, please.
No.
But it is 6:05 and I will adjourn our meeting.